My name is Jeremy Devins, and welcome back to the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. And today I'll be sharing about 12 major muscle groups and how you can relieve tension in all of these 12 major muscle groups. So if you have tension in your back or your neck or your feet, this will show you a technique that you can use right now to eliminate and relieve tension. And these are things that I teach inside of the Yoga and Ayurveda Mentorship, which happens to be open for enrollment right now. And if you see this later, you can join the wait list. That's where we do the deep dive into all the anatomy, the philosophy, the deeper aspects of Yoga and Ayurveda, so that you can improve your health and optimize your spiritual and health practices and really every area of life. But it starts with the body, and that's what we're going to look at today, is these 12 major muscle groups, starting with the feet and into the calves and the shins, the quads and hamstrings, the hips and glutes. We're just moving up the body here, the core, the low back, the upper back, chest, biceps and triceps, forearms and hands, shoulders and neck, and the head, like headaches. So what do we do to relieve tensions in these 12 major muscle groups? Well, starting with the feet, you can work with a lacrosse ball or something similar here. So if you have plantar fasciitis, that's when the plantar fascia, the connective tissue of the foot, is very tense. And it's already, the plantar fascia is very, very strong and tense, like steel cables. But if it gets extra tense, then we have plantar fasciitis, and it hurts when you wake up in the morning, you go for, take a couple steps and your feet hurt. And you've got too much tension in your feet. So stepping on a lacrosse ball or something firm and similar, like some people will use like a soda bottle that's filled with ice, like frozen in the freezer, and something hard and round that you can press onto your foot. Even just holding in one spot or rolling on one spot can feel really good, but working around this area can help a lot. And I've seen people I've worked with have like immediate relief of plantar fasciitis, at least in that moment, and then it takes repetition. It's not something that usually heals immediately, but with repetition and using this regularly to relieve tension in the feet, this can have a major improvement on this. And even if you don't have plantar fasciitis, and if you just feel like your feet are fine, try this. You'll be surprised that usually there's more tension there than you realize. And if you don't have a lacrosse ball, a golf ball, some hard plastic object will be fine, but ideally some sort of firm ball that you can press on, like a lacrosse ball, is ideal for this. Moving up the legs, looking at the calves and the shins, one of my favorite things to relieve tension here is what I call calf smashing. Some people call calf smashing. It's just basically sitting in Virasana, hero pose, but you put a blanket or a prop, a blanket, a yoga mat, something like this, in that space between your upper leg and lower leg when you're sitting down in Virasana, and the pressure goes into the calves. So the calf muscles, the gastrocnemius here, can often get very tense, even from use or disuse, whether you're walking a lot or not walking very much. This can get very tense from the shoes that you wear, same with the feet. And this technique, along with the last one and a lot of the ones today, are working with this idea of self-myofascial release. So myofascia is the fancy word for the muscle and the connective tissue. And the release, of course, coming from just putting pressure onto that area where there is tension. And there are, what I talk about, release, strength, and stretch, this three-step technique to work with very tense areas. So the first step of that is releasing tension that's already there with something like lacrosse ball, or using props in these creative ways to create some pressure on the tension. And from that pressure onto the tense muscles, that often sends a signal to the brain of like, oh, I notice I'm holding tension here. Maybe I can soften a little bit and relax. And this has a really cool effect of releasing tension just from awareness of putting attention on it. Now, this shouldn't be super painful. It can be too much, where the nervous system sort of recoils and you activate your fight or flight response, the sympathetic nervous system, and you create more tension and your body freezes up even more. So you're not going to release the tension. So part of the whole idea of this is that putting some pressure onto these points and softening, relaxed breathing, releasing tension through the rest of your body, like the shoulders and the back, when you're working with the calves here, this allows you to get into more of the parasympathetic rest and digest mode of the nervous system. Now, all of this myofascial release kind of stuff is obviously going to work better if you are in a more relaxed state going into it. So if you just kind of go through your day and then sit down and just start doing this calf smashing, it wouldn't be surprising if your nervous system doesn't respond and soften. It would make sense if you're more beta brain waves, more active, more alert, you're going to be a little more tense and alert, so you're not going to release the tension. So generally these things work best in the context of a full yoga practice, like I teach in the Quiet Mind Yoga membership or the Quiet Mind Yoga podcast, or just any yoga practice you do. And at the end, you could do these yourself, add these in, and this can help release the tension that's there. So keep that in mind with all of these techniques of releasing tension, that they work a little better in the context of yoga practice, where you're creating a more relaxed environment to go into the parasympathetic nervous system response, where your body can soften in as you're receiving this sort of pressure and tension from the props or the tools you're using. Next, moving up the legs into the quads and hamstrings. Now, there's a lot I could say here. There's a lot of muscles here, but I'll just keep it simple for today and just giving you one thing you can do in this major muscle group is doing bridge pose, but variations where you work with the heels digging into the ground. So in the release, strength, and stretch approach that I talk about a lot, this is not so much in the release side, but more in the strength and activation. And when you do bridge pose like normal, you're activating the glutes and hamstrings a decent amount. But if you lift your toes and press your heels down and energetically pull them back towards you, towards your shoulders, you're activating the hamstring muscles a lot, because the function of the hamstrings is knee flexion. So for the knee to bend, the hamstrings have to activate to some degree. And when you add the resistance of a floor in bridge pose, the hamstrings activate even more. And when you hold that contraction long enough that you're recruiting more of your muscle fibers, getting more of the contraction of the hamstrings, and then you release it, then you've allowed the muscle to relax at a deeper level. And then any sort of hamstring stretching is going to be more, your body's going to be more receptive to it. It's going to be more effective. You still want to go slow and gentle into the stretching. That's a big transition to go from fully contracted. You wouldn't want to go right into fully lengthening the hamstring and going to your deepest stretch. But going in from like a green, yellow, red perspective, going a green to yellow at most, never into red really. So this is for the hamstrings more so. When you do this, there's something called reciprocal inhibition. So you're activating the back of the legs, and that helps lengthen and release, create space in the front of the legs. So if you have tight quads, this actually sometimes can be helpful to as well for the quads and releasing tension there, just by doing these hamstring bridges. So again, it's bridge pose, but you emphasize the heels pushing down and energetically back towards your shoulders in the pose. And if you want even more challenge with this, you walk your feet further away, being very mindful of your knees. There should be no pain in your knees, but you go into what I call like reverse locust. So it's like locust pose, but you're on your back, and it's somewhere between locust and bridge, right? So you're on your back, you're digging your heels down, and you're lifting your knees, your glutes, your lower back is all lifting. Your shoulders are pushing down as well. So you're really activating the back of the body. And then when you release that, you may find a big release of tension in the hamstrings and more receptivity to lengthening the hamstrings. You can try it. A good way to do this is to just go onto your back and go to Supta Padangusasana, so supine hand to foot pose, or with a strap as well could work. And notice your hamstring flexibility. Then switch into the bridge pose with the heels digging in, or if you're more advanced, the reverse locust pose. Hold that until you feel like a fatigue set in, a muscle failure, where you've contracted as much of the muscle fiber as you can. Rest a moment, then go back to Supta Padangusasana, supine hand to foot pose, and notice the flexibility in your hamstrings. You'll probably notice a pretty significant difference in the flexibility. I will add as well, just a little stepping back, with the first thing with the feet, another little cool test that you can do that I see works every time I've tried this with myself or students. So basically standing in standing forward fold pose and just doing that cold, no warm up, nothing else, just noticing your flexibility. Then stand up again and then do the foot on the lacrosse ball, rolling the tension on the feet about a minute on each foot, and then go back to the standing forward fold and notice the flexibility in your hamstrings. You'll probably notice a significant difference because you're working with the fascia and the superficial back line of the fascia from the feet all the way up the back of the body, including the back of the legs. So that's a little bonus tip there as well. But it's cool when you do these techniques to see how your body changes and to do these things before and after to notice what changes. So that's a useful thing as well. And then for the calves and shins, before you do the calf smashing, try downward facing dog. And then do the calf smashing for about a minute, maybe more, kind of listening to your body. And then do downward facing dog again. And you might notice your heels go closer to the mat. So it's pretty cool to see the actual instant effects of these things. And then long term, they do take repetition. So you might have that instant effect now, but if you have a sedentary lifestyle or if you even have a very active lifestyle, then you can have repetitive stress issues. So these things are maintenance. And with flexibility, we lose it pretty quickly. So flexibility requires a good amount of maintenance and repetition and practicing ideally 3 times a week to maintain and see some moderate improvement in flexibility over time. 5 times to see significant improvement over time. But if you just practice once a week, that will pretty much maintain like a decent amount of flexibility. You'll probably start to lose some of it over time. So moving on up the legs, we go into the hips and the glutes. And we are working with the piriformis muscle today, is what I'm suggesting, is just one thing. Because again, there's a lot going on in the hips and glutes we could work with. But I'm focusing on what I think are some of the most significant areas and significant muscles. So that I've seen that most clients need help with. So the piriformis is underneath the glute maximus. It's deep in the glute muscles as opposed to superficial. And if you have sciatica, this is when there's so much tension in the piriformis muscle that it's pressing on the sciatic nerve and causing pain to shoot down the leg. So if you have sciatica, the main muscle you want to work with is the piriformis here to relieve tension there. There could be other factors, but this is a good starting point. And the great way to work with that is with a lacrosse ball on the piriformis. So like sitting in sort of crab shape. So you lean back. So you're sitting down and you lean back on your hands. You have your feet flat on the ground and you go into a figure four shape. So like a seated pigeon. And even that might be plenty. If you're really tense here, this is plenty without a lacrosse ball. And if you want visuals, there's visuals on the Spotify and on the Quiet Mind Yoga YouTube. But so you're sitting like you're in a crab shape, cross left ankle over right thigh, figure four shape like a pigeon. And then you just lean onto your left side and you'll find some stuff there. And if you feel more open, use a lacrosse ball under your left outer hip into this piriformis muscle. And because it's deep, usually holding there for a moment allows the tissue around it to soften so that you can get into that deeper tissue. Usually the first thing you're gonna feel is the glutes, and if the glutes are tensing, you'll need to soften there. Usually the glutes are lengthening just from the position, so you're probably fine with that. But it does take a moment to find the exact spot. And sometimes you're very tense and you don't need to move at all. You got plenty to work with. But holding this for at least a minute can start to relieve tension here. And with all of these movements I'm talking about today, all these holds especially, at least a minute, working up maybe to 3 sets of 1 minute. So you do 1 minute, little rest, another minute, little rest. For the asymmetrical things, 1 minute on one side, 1 minute on the other side. So about 3 minutes is enough time to really see some significant release of tension here. And really what we're working with is the brain and the nervous system. So it's not really as much about the muscle, and we need to get in there and make it release and force the body to have this effect. It's more so that we get into there and feel the tension and go, woof, soften, soften, soften. And you might need to take some big exhales. You might need to soften other tension in your body. And it's just this internal awareness and internal softening that allows that muscle to release tension. It's not a effort, a force, get in there and use effort, right? It's more sukha than sthira, more effort, more ease than effort. So that's for the hips and glutes. That is a very powerful exercise. And if you want other angles of this, other things to work with the piriformis, revolved triangle is a great pose as well to get into that area and down the IT band outside the leg that is often tight as well when you work with this. For the core, now again, lots we could say about the core, but just for today, I'm going to say laying prone on your stomach on a rolled up blanket or a mat in a way that is enough pressure that it's, you feel some pressure, but it's soft. It's not like a lacrosse ball. We're not working with the psoas muscle here today. I'm not talking about that for today. Not here for the core, but for the core in general, there could be deep tension just in the stomach from trauma. Like, it's so common, people who grew up in traumatic experiences have a lot of tension in the stomach. For me, it took many years to relieve tension in the stomach, tried a lot of things, and one thing that I found really helpful was this, just laying with a little pressure, a soft pressure on the stomach with a rolled up mat or a rolled up blanket. And you can do it like in the pictures I'm showing, either in Sphinx pose with your forearms down, or just resting, like stacking your hands, resting your head on your hands, sometimes called the alligator pose. So just laying on your stomach, softening your belly, that can have a really, really relaxing effect on the nervous system. And again, like with all this, it is the nervous system we're really working with, not so much the muscles when we're releasing tension. Yes, it is the muscles, but no, it's not the muscles. What's controlling the muscles is the nervous system. And what we're working with today is releasing tension, relaxing more. So this is a great way to do that with the stomach. And any other stuff around the stomach can be supported with this as well. But there could be some deeper stuff here, like working with the psoas muscle with like a more precise tension could be helpful too. So it's moving on to the opposite of the psoas muscle. On the low back is the quadratus lumborum, which is sort of the backside of the psoas. The psoas are the major hip flexors and they're deep muscles, and they help bring the knee in towards the chest. And when they're doing that, the QL muscle on the back is lengthening a bit. And the opposite, when the psoas is lengthening, the QL is contracting a bit. But the QL has some unique functions that no other muscle has in the body. So it's a little tricky to get it and release tension there directly. So one thing you can do is deer pose. And often people have amazing responses to deer pose. It's like so relieving, especially if you're sitting a lot, you have low back pain. Deer pose with a bolster as pictured here, or just with your forearms down. But it's a little much to explain right now, but if you know the pose, you know, you're, as in this example, like you're leaning towards your left side, your left knee's bent, your right knee's bent, and you turn your chest towards the ground, lowering down. So deer pose is one I teach a lot in my classes. I practice a lot because I've had low back pain over the years, and this is a great pose to relieve that. But with this and with all of these things, they are not cure-alls. So because deer pose may help one day, it doesn't mean that's the only thing to ever do for your low back pain ever, because there could be a wide range of causes of low back pain. And whenever I teach with it and work with it, I'm often teaching a lot of stuff, like apanasana is great, often for low back pain. Versions of pigeon can be helpful. Deer pose is great. So there's a lot you can do here, but Deer pose is one I come back to a lot, and I've seen a lot of clients get a lot of relief in their low back from doing this. But it's important to say that you can't just start doing deer pose every day, because now that's going to create imbalances in other ways in the body. And the body is this constant work in progress and constantly evolving thing, that whatever you do today is going to affect tomorrow and the next day. So it's about finding what your body needs today. And you may find this to be really helpful today if you have low back pain. Moving up to the upper back, a great thing to work with here is a supported supine heart opener. So this is where usually you'll have like a block under your middle upper back and a block under your head. And you're gonna adjust where that is for you, where that feels best. And in the back, if you're watching the video, there's a lot of stuff in the back to work with. A lot of muscles there, a lot of layers of stuff. So to keep it simple for today, I'm just gonna suggest this. And then what I really like to do is not just the heart opener, because that's a lot for the chest too, but to go into the heart opener and a supported fish pose is sometimes called, and cross your arms across your chest. So you're holding opposite shoulders, and this brings your shoulder blades into protraction. So this opens up the space between your shoulder blades, and then put the block there, maybe lengthwise, so along the same length as your spine, the long way of the block. And then you can move a little bit side to side and do this self-myofascial release into these muscles along the spine. So it could be in the rhomboids. These muscles are very important to the middle back, middle upper back. It could be in the trapezius muscles, which is a very large kite-shaped muscle in the back. It could be along the erector spinae. You don't want to get into the spine where it feels like super hard and a little painful. It should not feel painful when you do this, but maybe a good pain. The good pain of like finding those tight spots and just hold and breathe on them. Hold and breathe, relax your nervous system, soften around the tension, allow your muscles to relax. So much of this is just like turning the signal on from the brain to the muscle to realize you were holding that tension. A lot of these tensions get held unconsciously. We go into a stressful situation at work, we tense up. We're in traffic, we tense up. But it becomes so subtle and unconscious, because maybe we're listening to the radio at the same time or doing other things. We don't feel everything happening in the body all the time. The tension just gets built up and just held unconsciously. So this kind of work we're doing in these poses helps release that tension. So this is a great one for the upper back, using the block as a tool to massage. Now you could do this with a lacrosse ball or something else, but I find that to be a little unwieldy to move around and find the right spot and try to rock back and forth. It's a little tricky, but with the block, I think it works really well. And ideally, this has got to be a pretty firm foam block. If you use a cork block that's really firm, maybe, you know, sometimes those can be really hard, but that could work. And if it's a wood block, probably not. Those solid wood blocks, those are very hard and even sharp on the edges. So we want like a hard foam block ideally for this. It's got just enough give that it's not painful, but it's hard enough that it puts some pressure into the tension of the back and you can release it. Now with the chest, same thing, but different emphasis. So rather than crossing your arms in supported fish pose, you open your arms out like in the woman in the picture, where you can have your arms out like a goalpost or a T, just straight out. That can be a nice bicep stretch as well. Or like in the picture, she's got her arms overhead, she's holding opposite elbows. This just gets into different areas of the pectoralis muscles. So the pecs have sort of different angles where we can stretch them. And one of them is if we're at a sort of Y shape, and when we bring the arms overhead and hold opposite elbows, we bring the arms into that Y shape and add gravity. So we don't have to really do much here, but gravity brings us into a pretty big stretch. So this technique is more of just a stretching technique, not the self-myofascial release of the chest. But you could do a bit of that if you say put your right arm straight out to the right, maybe a little up like a Y to find different angles of where the tension is in the chest. And then you can use your free hand to press onto that pec muscle. Somewhere in there you might find a tight spot, and just press and hold and breathe with as little tension in your body as you can. So when you're doing this way of like using your hand to press on something, it's even more important to enter this rest and digest, the parasympathetic nervous system response with relaxed breathing. Maybe you need some big sighing exhales. But because you're also adding effort and you're trying to get into a state of ease, it's a little more advanced in a way, but you can do it. And that's a great way to do it. And then alternatively, I'll just add one more. If you want just a purely myofascial release technique, you would just go onto your stomach and use a lacrosse ball on your pec muscles somewhere in that range, and just having your arm maybe sliding overhead or finding the spot or holding on a spot there in that kind of Y shape with your arm, one arm at a time, because that can be very intense on the chest. And it's very common. People have a lot of tension there, especially if you're sitting a lot. Your shoulders tend to get rounded, tend to get more tension in the pec muscles. So that can be great. Either the supported fish pose, arms overhead, or extra bonus technique, laying on your stomach with a lacrosse ball under your pecs, one at a time. Now, I just mentioned one for the biceps of this supported fish pose with your arms out to the side. You might feel a decent stretch there. But for the triceps, puppy dog pose is great. So from hands and knees, you just extend your arms forward into puppy dog pose, and then bend your elbows, hands in prayer above your head. So the bent elbows is what gets into the lengthening of the triceps. And if you want more, you can put blocks under your elbows, getting into the lengthening of the triceps and even into the shoulder and lats. So this is more of a stretching technique as well. We don't do too much in yoga for the biceps and triceps often, and usually they don't need too much compared to other areas of the body, but this is a great technique to have as well when you have tension in your triceps, in your arms. For the forearms and hands, now another common area of tension and stress in the body. So very simple, just from kneeling, you just sit back comfortably, sit your hips back, and then you have your hands down on the mat, but you turn your fingers towards your knees. So now you're getting into the stretch of the wrists. And there's lots of different angles you can do with that, fingers pointing back towards you, tops of the hands down, fingers pointing back. You can just use your own hands to stretch the other hand. So again, this is more of a stretching technique with the forearms and wrists. Great one to do to release tension here. For the shoulders and neck, one of my favorites that I teach quite a bit is shrugging the shoulders, and then using your, so you say you shrug your right shoulder, and then use your free hand to squeeze the trapezius muscle, the upper traps, and just hold it, holding the contraction and holding the squeeze for about a minute or until you start to get tired. So as you're holding it, you're recruiting more muscle fibers until you recruited all of the muscle fibers as best you can, and you're holding on a pressure point where you feel some tension to encourage your nervous system to soften there on that pressure. And then you can, when you feel tired, you can release the contraction of the muscle, so you're back to normal shoulders, but you can keep the grip with your hand and go another layer of just holding on the tension. Long exhales, softening, softening, softening. But you keep the pressure. So again, when you do this, it's a little more advanced because part of you is still holding a firm grip and pressure on your shoulder, but the other part of you is just softening, softening. And you can feel the tension start to melt away over time. Again, 3 repetitions of this on each side. Before you do it, again, a little check-in is you might just notice your shoulders shrugging before you do anything, see how that feels, and then see how it feels afterwards. And you'll likely feel a pretty significant release of tension there. It's one that's been very helpful to me over the years, and I teach it a lot because it's so good. And then finally, for the head, like if you have a headache, you'll feel the pain in your head. But what's interesting is almost always, if you have a headache, you probably have tension in your rhomboids. So these are the muscles that connect your shoulder blades to your spine, and they go up the back of the neck, and you probably have tension in the back of the neck and all the way up into the muscles of the head, and this is contributing to the headache. It might be dehydration, might be other factors, but it is very common that if somebody has a headache, they also have tension in the rhomboids. And we can't do too much to get into the head to release the headache, but we can very much work with the rhomboids, like I mentioned before. So supported fish pose, cross your arms, massage into those spaces between the shoulder blades and spine. And you can really, with the crossed arms, open up that space and find those tight spots, hold and breathe on them. And I have found for myself and students that this can release tension in the back and then tension of the headache. Not always. There's a lot of reasons you could have a headache. Could be stress, could be other tight muscles, could be dehydration, so many other things, hormones. So it's not something I can say will always release a headache, but it definitely helps. It doesn't hurt, and it's worth trying. And also, of course, staying hydrated. Tight muscles often is part of that reason they're tight is dehydration. So staying very hydrated can also help. If you have chronic tension in your muscles overall, making sure you're getting hydrated to support that. So that's our look at how to relieve tension in 12 major muscle groups, with the feet and the lacrosse ball rolling, the calves and shins doing hero pose with a prop underneath, calf smashing. For the quads and hamstrings, doing bridge pose with the heels digging in. For the hips and glutes, doing a sort of crab pigeon with a piriformis emphasis. So you're using a lacrosse ball in the piriformis, the outer hip. For the core, we talked about laying on the rolled up blanket or mat to relax your belly. For the low back, deer pose. For the upper back, supported fish. For the chest, supported fish, just emphasizing the arms opening. For the triceps, the puppy dog with the bent elbows. For the forearms, just simply hands and knees, and then stretching the forearms and wrist with different hand positions. For the neck and shoulders, doing the shoulder shrug and squeezing and holding the trapezius muscle. And then for the head and headaches, doing the supported fish pose, but emphasizing massaging and releasing tension in the rhomboids. So if you found this helpful, this is just part of what I teach in the Yoga and Ayurveda mentorship. It's just one little piece of the whole thing, but it's a 12-week deep dive into soul nourishing practices to deepen your yoga and Ayurveda and meditation spiritual practices. So really cool stuff. We'll be deep diving into anatomy, philosophy, the Yoga Sutras, the eight limbs of yoga, Ayurvedic practices, knowing your dosha, and even integrating what I teach in Quiet Mind Astrology of knowing your own birth chart and how to adapt things for that as well, because there's a lot there. So enrollment is open right now if you're listening to this when it goes live, but if you miss it, get on the wait list for the next time it opens. It's a really cool program, and it's like, for me, it's like the most soul nourishing offer I have, where it's so much just about getting really intimate with yourself, with your practices, with your body, your mind, your spirit. Really cool. And that's like the foundation of everything else. So I wouldn't be here without those things in my life. I wouldn't be able to do anything I do if I didn't have years of immersion in these practices. So I'll be sharing this in this program. You can check it out now at quietmind.yoga/YAM or YAM, my favorite food, yams. So if you enjoy this podcast, take a moment to leave a rating review on the Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. Thanks for listening or watching. Hope you have a great week. See you soon.